Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Did it rain at your house? It rained at my house, but that's all it did. Thank you, Jesus. We saw it coming and we said, no hail, no wind, no limbs down, no trouble. So we got rain and that's all we got. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful to all his house. Tonight I want to talk to you about the present day ministry of Jesus, okay? The present day ministry of Jesus. We know what Jesus has done for us. We all know. He saved us. He redeemed us. He delivered us. He anointed us. He healed us. He gave us heaven instead of hell. He did all these things for us. I think sometimes people, but probably not us as much because we've grown a little further, but a lot of people just see Jesus and his work on the cross, or they see him on the cross, but you know, Jesus resurrected from the dead. And he's actually doing something today. And I do realize that according to Ephesians, according to Romans, we understand that all things have already been given to us. The Bible says in Romans 8 that with Jesus, God did give us all things. In Ephesians, it said that everything has been given to us. Even before the foundation of the world, it was planned that the people who were born again, who came into the church, it would be predestined for them to have everything. And it's all kept in the heavenly realm, and you use your faith to pull it into this realm. Now, we all understand that, do we? Yeah, that's not hard for us. We are faith specialists in the house. So, what's Jesus doing then if he's already given us everything? So I just want to mention a few things to you. And the first one is the Bible says in Hebrews 4:14 that he's the high priest of our confession. That it says, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That means confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So, he is the high priest over our words then. Is that right? He's the high priest over our words. Now understand, he makes the words that agree with God's will come to pass. He's like an administrator. They make stuff happen. They get stuff done. Is that right? They're getting stuff done. So he takes the word and brings it to pass. Now, he is not high priest over sickness or poverty or death. He is Lord over sickness and disease and poverty and death. But he's high priest means he makes something happen. So when you begin, just like we were praying, and I told Deb and Danny, I said, I need a word about rain. We need it now. And Miss Joy showed up the next morning and said, Deuteronomy 11:11. We're like, yeah, that's it. And so I think I quoted it like three times, and boom, it started raining. What happened? From coming out from Joy, coming out from me, coming out from the prayers that day, Jesus had to do something with our words. And he did, and it rained on our land. That's a scripture that says we live in a land where we don't have to water by, it says foot, but I say water hose, you know. Praise the Lord. You don't have to just water with your irrigation system. Jesus will rain on your land. And so, he manages your right confessions, and he manages your confession of faith, and he manages the scripture that you're quoting or you're speaking, how it's going on in you and coming out of you. So he is the manager. The second thing that he is he's a mediator. Men could not approach God in their condition of spiritual death. So Jesus now presents man holy, righteous, without blemish, because he paid the price for us. He presents us to Father as righteous, right? Well, he did that for the sinner. He did that for the ones who came in. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:24 that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Jesus made you right. He mediated for you, and now that thing is fixed between you and Father. Okay. The third thing that he is intercessor. He's mediator while you're out there. He's intercessor when you're in here, when you are now born again. You got mediated in, if I could say it like that. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it kind of works. But now he's interceding for you. Now, why do we need an intercessor? Why would we need one? Well, we need an intercessor because while we're becoming skilled in this word of righteousness, we actually strain our relationship with the Lord somewhat. We're not perfect. And so he then works for us as intercessor. What do intercessors do in intercessory prayer? Standing in the gap, right? They're standing in the gap. So they're praying for the nation, praying for one another. We prayed for the little girl who was the only survivor yesterday. She's y'all's relative. Is she kin to you, Loopy? Sister-in-law. Okay. The only survivor. We started praying for her last night. She had five bullets in her, and she's walking right now. Thank you, Jesus. She's the only child in that room that survived. So now we are praying for her mental and emotional safety and health. Amen. And so you can join in. I believe her name is Kendall. Is it Kendall? So you can pray for Kendall. Amen. So what we see then is that Jesus is helping us as we renew our minds. He's staying in there with us, working with us. So he's our intercessor. And then the fourth thing he is our advocate. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So Jesus, here again, we see him supporting us. And this is God's method of maintaining relationship with us. If we confess our sins, which I personally think we still should. Some grace people don't think that's right, but I do. I think we should, just like we apologize to one another, I think we need to admit when we're wrong to the Lord. And church, that's not even that you even know or even thinking of all the things you've done wrong. You may not even know them, but just in relationship form. It's not about getting in and out of the kingdom, but it's about just a relationship. If you're in a relationship, at some point you're going to apologize. Or it won't be a very good one. Amen. And so here we are. We're talking about being truthful with God when you miss it. And then you just it's also important to remember that you need to receive afresh what belongs to you. You know, I'm all right. I made a mistake. Lord, I command a crop failure over those words that came out of my big mouth. I shouldn't have said that. And so, Lord, I thank you that I am forgiven and I am the righteousness of God. Kind of looks like that. And so Jesus is there saying, it's all right. No condemnation. Come on, let's get up and go. Brother Copeland always says, when you sin, run to God, not from him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus is this advocate. He's kind of like a lawyer. You know, when you go to court. Now, I want to go somewhere here because I want to talk about that for a minute. We've talked about the courts of heaven before, but I just want to go out here and talk about him being like a lawyer in the courts of heaven. The accuser of the brethren shows up and he tries to legally take you down. Satan is a legalist. This is why we even bother with holiness, because there's a devil out there, and he's a legalist. God loves you. Does he want you to do right? Sure. But one of the main reasons why you want to walk the path with God is so that you can steer free from all the snares. Amen. But you have Jesus, and he will help you. God being the judge of all, God will help you. And I was thinking about Job, and I was thinking about how God helped Job, and you're like, he did? Because it looks like he threw him under the bus, you know. But he didn't. And I want to refresh your thinking on this. There's this scene where Satan talks to God about Job, and it's a real interesting scene. He's accusing Job of certain things, and he's accusing God, well, you've just got him illegally protected is what he's saying, and you really can't do that. That's what he's accusing God of. And it said over in Job 1:6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence thou come? Or what are you doing here? In other words, where'd you come from would be better. Then Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So he's looking to accuse. And so the conversation is, so you're considering my son Job, are you? And that's what he was there for. Okay. Now notice the angels, the sons of God there. This is angels. They came to present themselves. What are they doing? Presenting themselves. Well, they were doing what Satan was doing. They're coming from earth. They've been walking to and fro. Angels are reapers of harvest. Okay? They reap harvest on the earth. They help you, or they help, now get this, they help big L-O-R-D bring in the harvest. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, the capital L-O-R-D, just for those who may not understand this, capital L-O-R-D means God's system of government that he already set up. So when you're reading the Bible and you see L-O-R-D in capitals, that's what God has already set up to move in. He's Elohim. Some of the translations for Lord, sometimes it's Jehovah. But that particular word there means there's some form of government. So who would have been a reaping angel? The angel of death with the 10 plagues. Remember that? Over in Moses' time. He was going in to reap something that Pharaoh had sown. What did Pharaoh sow? He killed babies. Okay, now, so we see here that God's saying, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come? He says, I've been coming up and down looking at all this. And the angels are there. Remember Jacob? Remember that Jacob saw a ladder? That ladder is not like, you know, a ladder you fold out, an 8-foot ladder or something. It's a helix. It's a spiral staircase. Okay? And so the angels come and go at this, in that time, would come and go, come in and out of the earth in that particular fashion. That spiral staircase, I don't have time to go here, but I'll just throw it out there and you can have fun with it. Looks like your DNA. It's the helix, okay? It looks like that, okay? So, yeah, you can think about that. That's fun, isn't it? Now, so these angels, they'll reap a harvest. They'll help you with that. And so they also help, capital L-O-R-D, reap the harvest. So, you reap what you what? Do you reap what you sow? Galatians 6 says, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap, right? And it's not just talking about money. That's part of it. It's all things. It's talking about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is the government of God. That's how the judgment of God happens. Those that sow evil and sow into darkness and run with the darkness, they're going to reap darkness. That's why you see so many cuckoo people right now. Don't tell them I said that. Or maybe you should. But what we see is that Satan's going in here and he wants to get a harvest for Job. And God said, you can't kill him. Now, well, why? Why couldn't Satan kill him? Because God's going to break his own rules? No, because Job didn't sow death. He had never sown a seed for death. What he did was sow seeds that the curse would come. And it did come. And going back and read it, he said, I'm doing this because of the curse. But he didn't sow for death. And so God tells Satan, you can't take it. See, now, people blow that all out like God was making a deal with the devil to see how far the devil could hurt his man. No, he's actually telling him, he's actually in your territory because he's in fear. The Bible says that what Job feared came upon him, right? So he's in the devil's territory, but the devil can't take him out because he hadn't sowed seed for it. Can I tell you this? Jesus paid for any seed of death that you have sown. And that's why the devil hadn't been able to kill you right now. Because you don't have a harvest of death. You don't even have a harvest of death when it is time for you to leave. Because you're not going to die. You're going to just drop off and go. And go, whoo, feel better. Amen. You're never going to die. It's not even going to hurt. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. The day you go out of your body, you'll go out with these people that I can tell you, born again Christians that went in a wreck or something, didn't feel a thing. Well, how do you know that? Well, I've heard about people who've been to heaven and who actually said that. And then I know about people, actually Gloria Copeland's brother was in a car wreck and, the message came back to her from someone who had a heavenly visitation that said, he said to tell you he didn't feel a thing. That's right. Amen. That's the kind of God we have. So you're not sowing for death. I'll just tell you that right now. And if you did command a crop failure over it, don't agree with the devil. God's got you. Amen. Amen. And so that would make him your advocate, right? And then the fifth and the last thing is that Jesus is the Lord and the head of the church. And so did you know that it says Jesus is Lord 700 times in the New Testament? Isn't that amazing? So he holds the highest position in the universe. And then Satan has charge over the earth right now. And he still has charge over natural men. In case you don't know that, I'll read you 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So Satan blinds the unbeliever. But then we become intercessors and we pray. And light will shine and they'll get saved. But basically, the only people that Satan, well, I'm going to have to say it two ways. The only people he's in charge of are the unbelievers. You're like, well, he's not in charge of all of them, is he? Yeah, pretty much. You can't really, if you're on your own without God, then you're with him. There's not three sides. And then for the believer, if you're born again, but you are perishing for lack of knowledge, maybe you don't know much, if you're just sitting in a religious church or something, then the enemy can really play with you, and then he will use your power, your authority, to take you out or move you into the wrong places. You all understand that already, but I just need to make that clear for everyone listening. So he is the head, So Adam brought the death, and he brought Satan with him. And God can't or couldn't annul that because he had a lease, and he's not someone who will break his lease. Okay? But Christ is the conqueror. And so his incarnation gave him something very precious. He has no relationship with Satan. Every one of us that were born from the womb, born from water, we had a relationship with the God of this world because Adam lost it to him. Right? Am I right? Y'all here? Wake up, little Susie. Come on. The old people know the song. You do? Praise the Lord. Okay, so, sorry, old people. I'm one too. Anyway, older is what I meant. But what we have here is Jesus, who there's no connection to the devil whatsoever. And so he's riding way higher. So we get in with him, and now we're riding way higher. And that's how it works. You are in covenant with the God of the whole universe, and you are not subject to the dark, evil plot of this world system. Well, I sure feel subject to it. Well, come on up. Come on up out of depression. Come on up out of worry. Come on up of agreeing with the news. Because the news is we win. Well, I'm having to pay five something for gas. Well, you got it, don't you? And God will provide for you. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. He'll provide for you. Well, yes, he will. Unless you block it. And it won't be long now, I can tell you that. It's almost done for. So his life became ours, and then we live a life that's free from all this stuff. We don't have to have a relationship with him. And then also, Jesus is our example in the earth. He came as a man, and he is our example of how we can live with the Holy Spirit. He didn't come down and go, I'm God. No. He came down and to Mama. Mama Mary had a little baby. So that we would know who we are. And then we would rise up and understand that we could do the things and greater than what Jesus did. Now this is 101 for us, but it's worth talking about because sometimes we need to go back and think about these things. Jesus right now is on our side. He's not sitting somewhere cleaning his fingernails and going, I wish they'd get it. He loves us. Do you know how his heart feels right now about the Uvalde people? This hurts him. He has compassion. And we're the ones that need to pray that compassion out and speak that compassion out and do whatever deeds we need to do to show that compassion for the people of that community. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll pray for them in just a minute. So, here's my point. We're creatures. We confess his lordship over us, right? He is our Lord. Is he your Lord?
Yes.
Okay. So if he's your Lord, then if you're accepting him as Lord, then you're going to have to accept him as Lord over your needs. You're not. He is. Quiet in the church. He's Lord over. He is the one who will look after what you need.
Amen.
He's the high priest over the words. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't separate. Well, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do. That doesn't work.
Right.
If he's your Lord, then you're going to trust and go. You're going to trust and go. And you're not always going to be focused on price. Might as well go there because Pastor Nancy gave me a mama whipping this morning. Just give you one too. If you just focus on the price, you're going to miss the plan. Well, we can't do that because it costs too much. That, listen, think about this, how silly we are. We take our well-earned money and take a week out of our lives and go sit under the Word of God for a whole week to get saturated. We spend our good, earned, hard money on that because we are so smart. And that's the truth. That's the plan. That's the plan. So you can't say, well, I wish I could go, but I don't want to spend my money on a hotel, when that's the most valuable thing you could do, particularly if you're looking to make, have an increase of finances, is to go sit under the Word until you have enough of it that you're spitting it out and things are happening. See where I'm going with that? So, a lot of times we'll just look at the money, the purchase of something, when we need to be looking at the plan. Because you're not going to run out of money if you're in God's plan. Well, no. See, you just don't, you're not believing. But if you really believe this is God's plan, then you could throw whatever money you wanted to at it and it would keep coming. Can I just say it cold turkey like that? That's why we spent all these last weeks on getting your capacity for faith out there. So you wouldn't just focus on, well, I can only do this much. Well, I can only do this much. Well, start there. Don't be presumptuous and go nutty and go to the restaurant without money and believe God that we're going to show up and pay your bill or something. But at the same time, start pushing your choke point out. All right, Lord, you called me to do this? And now I use the convention because it's just real simple for people to get. But first time we went to the convention, we were po, P-O, po. We were po. We had nothing. But we, our eyes were that big about faith. And so we went to the Motel 3, I think. We couldn't even get to 6. That's the truth. And it was down the road from the convention center and then the little Honda thing. And we took food in an ice chest and we sat on the floor in the convention center and ate our lunches, but we were going. And the next year, lo and behold, we had the money to move up to the Hilton. And we've never missed in 30 something years. Now that same thing can happen in your lives, in your businesses, in your housing, in your job and everything. The big tractor will come if you won't so much look at the money, but you look at the plan. Now, I'm not talking about not about being ridiculous about things. You have to really know the plan. Pastor Nancy, God told her she was going to get Amy Simple McPherson's castle. And she was like, well, Lord, you know, I'd have to buy that and spend all my money. And then I would have to pay off. And then I would have to renovate it. And so I'll be looking at a lot of money. And the Lord said, well, I didn't ask you about that. She says, yeah, but I could just pay a house off over here and just own it. And then I'd be debt free. And he said, well, I didn't ask you about that. I want you to have her castle. And man, that preaches the gospel for a woman of God to have that woman of God's castle. Yeah. I mean, Amy Simple McPherson is still speaking to us. I have little paintings on the wall of Angela's Temple in the green room in there. I mean, she's an important feature. She's why we even have that picture right there, because she dreamed bigger than the finances, than Nancy did. So now you just dream bigger. Just go ahead and dream big. Like I said, start with your socks and then get some shoes and then buy your higher priced boots and then graduate up to these things. Don't try to take a long shot all the time. You have to realize where you are in faith. But at least go a little bigger. At least go a little higher. At least stretch yourself out. Amen. Amen. I'm almost done. It's early anyway. Okay, now, I want to just teach you something as we close here. It's so good. If God is our Lord and we're going to obey him, would y'all say obey is kind of a important thing? Okay. Okay. Did you know that in all the places, the Lord calls us in the Old Testament to obey, and he calls us in the New Testament to obey his plan. But did you know in the Hebrew that the verb obey is not obey? It's shema. That means hear. That means listen. Okay? So in English, if we were to say obey in Hebrew, we would say listen to the voice of. Okay? So Deuteronomy 11:13, over there where we bid joy in those particular places, it says, if you will obey my commandments, that says Shemoa Tishmahu, which actually means if you will listenly listen. If you will listenly listen to my voice, you gotta get this, church. This just actually sits right in on everything we believe around here. If you'll just get this. If you listenly listen, if you will truly listen. So it doesn't mean if you'll just catch it with the sound of your ears. Okay? It's not just, you're just not picking up the sound here in your ears. It's to let the voice of God enter down and come into your ears, find its way into your heart and into your soul, so that the word begins to do the work within you. Shema, that's what that means. Instead of obey, if you will obey, it's no, if you will listen. Because if you will listen, this word, if you will intently listen, this word will come in you, drop down in you, and have its way with you. Isn't that good? And that's why it's easy to obey. Because the word does the work. Well, you know, God said I gotta do this, so I guess I've gotta do it. You didn't hear it. But if you just said, oh, yes, Lord, you heard it. Yes, I'll do that for you, Lord. There's such a difference. Yeah, Father, I got that and I'll do that. And instead of, because you're empowered to obey. Isn't that good? See, there's that. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. What's happening? It's in there doing the work itself. What did Jesus say? The sower sows the word into the good ground of your heart. How are you producing the harvest? Shema. You heard it. It got in there and you didn't let go of it. And it did the work and you move forward. That's why you're sitting here with integrity. That's why you have some integrity tonight. That's why you don't say, well, you know, it's a cheating situation. You don't think like that. Because the word got in you. The truth got in you. That's why if your little feelings get hurt and you say, I'm just quitting. I just lose all the time and I'm just going to quit. I just think I'll just quit. I'm just going to quit. In a little while you go, I'm not quitting. And then you get further along and you just won't even ever say that. Right? The only losers are what? Quitters. You see the difference? That word gets down in there. So to Shema is to hear a word with faith, that word which empowered by the Holy Spirit will do the work within us. So it's easy to say, yes, Lord. So then, is it obedience? Is it obeying God? Well, yes, it is obeying God, but that's a little bit too simplistic. We don't simply blindly obey some celestial tyrant. You better do what he says. It's not what we're doing at all. What we're doing is letting the words of our Father enter into us and truly listen to those words so that the divine word by the Holy Spirit actually does the work in us. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
The word coming in you will work.
Yes.
It won't return void. It'll work. We use that so much it gets weak sometimes, but it really will not return void. The word really will do. It will really will accomplish in you.
Amen.
It will accomplish in you. And that's what obedience really is the word being accomplished in you. That's what it is. You know, people live on that level. Well, I'm going to follow the plan of God, so it's probably going to be Africa. And I don't really want to go, but I guess I'll go to Africa. That's so shallow. There are people who go to Africa, and it's right. But it's just so shallow to think that the God of the universe is just going to put you, that when you answer his call, he's just going to put you where you don't want to be. That's not God. He'll put you in your thin place, the place you love. The thin place is where you can reach him. It's where you hear him the best. You do well by water. You do well in hill country. You do well wherever it is. Amen. He wants to do that. You know how I know? Because he put Adam in a garden. That's how I know. And he hasn't changed. If you want to know what God will do, you need to look at what God has done. That's what Lynn Hammond says, and I agree. So, we're letting the word of our Father enter into who we are. I want to add that to it. Entering into who we are. We truly listen, and then by the Holy Spirit, that word does the work. Why does it do it? Because we're the children of a heavenly speaking Father. He's a speaking Father. He's a speaking Spirit. We're speaking spirits. This is how it's, whether religion wants you to believe this or not, this is the truth about you. You are a speaking Spirit. And you can launch an authoritative command from your spirit that is different from anybody else on the earth. Other people, not these people, they can all do it too. But it's different. And that's good. That's okay. And there's power in it. Amen. Y'all receive this tonight? Father, we thank you for the word. We ask you to bless it. We're so grateful, Lord, for your word. We're so grateful that we can just obey you, because you're the one doing it. You give us the plan. You give us the power to obey the plan, and then you reward us for doing the plan. You are so awesome, and we're so grateful for everything you do. Father, I thank you for your protection, your provision, your healing power, all the strength that you give us, everything that you've done for us. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are your friends and your children. And Father, Lord, tonight we pray for the people in Uvalde, Texas. And Father, we as intercessors, oh, Papa, thank you, Lord, for giving them a comfort like they've never known. You said you would. You said it was something that people couldn't even understand. That much comfort, a peace coming over them. Lord, I thank you for protecting Kendall, and I thank you for blessing her. And Father, I thank you for touching each family member that has had to deal with someone going to heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for you giving them. You do it through your body, through just being there, your presence with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We feel compassion, and we give word to this. We thank you for peace that passes understanding. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing those wounds, the trauma Toshikitasa braba kosinde. Irebrebe ke sondarandalamoshi. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of it in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's anything that you want us to do physically or say, put it on the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.